Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I'm hoping you can explain the hit on metals of mining.
Quick question on ticker symbol AG, First Majestic.
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer. I was curious if this is eligible to be used to do a backdoor Roth.
And provides unbiased answers.
Well, that's pretty easy. Open up a Roth account, start moving the assets over there. Just know that every asset that you move over to the Roth is added to your income.
Invest Talk, across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART. This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, February 25th, 2022. I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm always glad to be here. I always enjoy hearing your financial investment questions, talking to you. And of course, you know, giving you straight, honest answers as best I can. And of course, my answers are going to always be unbiased. We never have a bias one way or another. I just give you my opinion and the facts that I see. It's that simple. So you drive the show. It's your agenda. You make it. So with your calls and your questions, we go wherever you want to go. As long as it's financial, I'm on board. Okay, so by now it should be obvious that at some point in your life, you realize that you are responsible for your financial well-being. When you're young and you're not really thinking about things, you just spend what you earn. But, you know, as you get older and older and older, it becomes more and more important that you have some security in your life. I am going to suggest that the earlier you start, the better off you'll be. But you are in charge of your own finances. Even if you hire somebody like me, you're still in charge, not me. You decide what you want to do, and you just got to be very sure who you're trusting your financial well-being to. Now, with that said, Justin and I have always told you that the market is volatile, that it is the best place to be, and for a long term, it is the best way to ensure your financial future. It really is. But it's unpredictable and volatile and, you know, chaotic sometimes. Look what happened today. Look at the big move up today. Was there a good reason for it? Now, I even said yesterday, I think, that there will be a relief rally. Now, I'm not sure this is the only relief rally we're going to get, or even if that we're done with our correction. Frankly, I'm doubting that at this point. But, because remember, I'm not so worried about this Russia thing. That to me is, you know, a temporary situation. It's more to do with inflation and the Fed. That's where, the market really is focused. Yeah, there could be this thing with Russia, and that could be a problem. And yeah, I see it. I get it. But that's not the market's long-term perspective is what are the Fed going to do with interest rates and how are they going to succeed in trying to overcome inflation? It's going to be a very difficult thing to do. And the market knows that. It knows that. So that's why I say I'm not quite sure if the correction is over with, because that hasn't changed. None of that has changed. So that's the opinion that I have. So give me a call. I want to talk to you. I want to answer any of your questions. I do enjoy answering questions and talking to you about the various parts of the market. So let's go ahead and get started. Our podcast will operate. We always operate under the same mission statement, and that is independent thinking, shared success. You know that. That means that I and my team at KPP Financial, we buy and sell the same things for ourselves. We do our clients. We're on the same side of the table as you. We always want to be, always have been, and we're always going to be. So call me right now during this live stream, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave a question anytime after hours and at the Invest Talk Voice Bank. Either way, the number never changes, 888-99-CHART. So let's get right to the first listener line question. No, let's go right to a live call. Let's go to Robert in Pleasanton.
Robert. There, Steve.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, happy Friday to you.
Thank you.
So I noticed that Foot Locker stock took a big hit today, and just wondering your thoughts on this. I mean, the numbers all look pretty good. I think that...
Do you know what caused it?
The market. Yeah, I think that their guidance maybe was indicating that things might slow a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, that would do because something like that.
I think their earnings actually came in okay, but obviously there's some concern going forward, but that stock really got slammed.
Yeah, it's a cheap stock, too. It's underpriced. Foot Locker, Inc., everybody, symbol is FL, operates almost 3,000 mall-based athletic footwear apparel stores in the U.S., Canada, Florida, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. They're going to make $6.41 next year. This year, they're going to make $7.77. So they're predicting a fall in earnings next year, a little bit rebound in the year after, $6.65. But it's at a $29 stock. That's only five times. That's only a 5 PE. And their low range is 4 to 21. So if it's not a disastrous report, or it's not a something that's going to be the future trend, and I'd have to read exactly what it says. This would be more of an opportunity developing to me to buy the stock. But you definitely got to wait till it stops falling, and you want to see some sideways movement for a week or two before you jump in it. Do you want to buy it or do you own it?
Yeah, I'm just looking to buy it. Like I said, I just noticed today the big drop, and then it looks like they pay a nice dividend.
Yeah, they do, 4.1%. And the financials look strong. I mean, you know, it's a strong company. It's not like they're in trouble anyway. So I'm not sure why it took such a deep hit. But you want to make sure it settles down before you put your toe in the water here, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate the call. My focus point today is based on the story behind the question, how should investors manage risks like the Ukraine war? Now, you can't avoid risks, right? We know you're going to have risks. When you're in the stock market, there are risks. But there are certain things you can't really plan against. They're called black swan events. And I don't know if I would call this a black swan event because you had plenty of warning that something was going to happen, right? I mean, weeks of warning that Russia was building troops and everybody said there's going to be. And so I just don't think, I don't know, I don't think it fits the definition of a black swan event. But how would you plan? You know, how do you handle this stuff when it happens? Okay, there'll be no quick trivia question today. Usually I have a trivia question because Friday I always go through parts of the KPP premium newsletter. So this will come up next at the halfway point of the program, okay? So 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We had some inflation numbers out today. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about states punishing banks for restricting business with oil companies or oil producers. I think this is an interesting tidbit that we need to talk about. Okay, the market was up. Dow was up big, 835 points. The NASDAQ, 221 points, and the S&P, 112. So that's a pretty big reversal rally from a week. But it was up a little bit yesterday, too. I just know it wasn't, I don't know if it was up or down, but I think it was up a little bit yesterday as well, after being almost 2 weeks of being down. So it looks like a relief rally there to me today was a relief rally. And whether it has legs, we will know that on Monday. It's pretty unusual to have a relief rally on a Friday because, especially when there's turmoil that we have in Russia, I think it says something about this Russian-Ukraine thing that the market kind of rallied today because over the weekend, anything can happen there, right? Now, of course, you know, there was talk of Putin wants to have open up discussions with the president of Ukraine, and I don't believe anything coming out of Putin's mouth. Anybody who does hasn't been paying attention to what he does over time. As he if the truth has trouble finding anywhere, anywhere in his language, the truth has trouble being there. It's just not something that you can rely on with him. You can't. He lies all the time. So I'm surprised the market rallied. Justin and I are grateful for the podcast support, everybody. We're at 40 million, and we do really appreciate that. You can. There are other ways to listen to us, too. We have other outlets of different information. You can go to InvestTalk, the YouTube channel that we have, and an Instagram channel or Instagram following. So we're building out more content in both those platforms. So go to YouTube or Instagram and, you know, search InvestTalk. Remember, you got to use two T's. And we would appreciate you tell your friends about us. And now the phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
You've got a portfolio to grow and protect, so get your finance and investment questions together and call Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. They're ready with their unbiased answers. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go talk to Carl on Oceanside. Hi, Carl.
Oh, hello. On Market Watch, they mentioned OSTK, and I looked at the chart. It came down, and it seems to make a turnaround to go a little bit higher. I'm wondering, is it still overpriced?
Okay, let's take a look. This is overstock.com he's talking about. And it looks like they're trying to find a bottom about $38 a share, and today it's 53. So it hit 38 a month or so ago, then hit 38 again like 4 days ago and bounced to 53. So it could be approaching the bottom. Let's take a look. You want to know if it's overpriced. Offers a variety of closeout, discount brand names, and non-brand name consumer items via overstock.com. Okay, they're going to make $2.37 this year after making $3.57 last year. Next year, $2.81, and it's a $53 stock. So still almost a 20 PE, 18, 19 PE. And that's, you know, its low is, the low it's ever been is 10. The highest it's been is 612. So it probably still is a little overpriced. The return on equity is very good at 31%. Cash flow is very strong. They don't pay a dividend. Mutual funds are stable. They're not buying or selling in the last year. The same, almost the same amount owns the stock as they did a year ago. And, you know, 56% of the stock is owned by the mutual funds. So over half. I still think it's overpriced, in answer to your question, Carl. I don't think it's nearly as overpriced as it was when it was 100, but it's still overpriced. But it also could be this might be the best price you're going to get for a while. So you got, you know, I wouldn't buy it for myself. I just don't, I'm not comfortable with this particular stock. Thank you for the call, Carl. Bill in Los Angeles. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Love the show. Yeah. I had a question about RMDs. I have an inherited IRA, and I was just wondering, is there a best time to take that, and what kind of things should I take into consideration when kind of timing that?
Okay. He's talking about a required minimum distribution, and you inherited an IRA.
That's right.
Yep. Okay. So the required minimum distribution doesn't apply to you on the inherited IRA unless you're over 70, are you?
No, I'm not over 70, but I my father passed away, and I guess the way it was set up is I have to take it. It's based on his wife, so she is over 70, so I sort of have to follow the rules based on his wife. At least that's what I was told.
I don't know if that's true. Getting into an area that I'm not an expert in, but as an inherited IRA, there is rules that you have to take that money over like a period of time, like 5 years once you inherit it, even if you're not old. So I'm not sure that has anything to do with the age of your dad or your mom, or, you know, if it's your dad's wife. You need to talk to a CPA about that, because there's rules that you really want to be sure about. Okay? So please do that. I'm just not an expert in that area. Okay, we have good news for our stock and Vestock listeners. You can enjoy us unbiasedly. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are ready to answer your finance and investment questions. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. I just got reprimanded by saying 40 million when it's that 39 million downloads, people. So it's at 39 million. I thought I could average up, but apparently I'm not supposed to. So we would really love your help in getting up to 40 million. So please tell your friends and family members about our podcast downloads. We'd appreciate it. My focus point today, based on the story behind how should investors manage risk when you have something like the Ukraine war happen? Now, if something like this happens, there's ways that you can react to it. Some people try to guess what the result will be and position their portfolio for the outcome. I don't like that way. Some people, once it happens, try to protect their portfolio by doing, you know, cutting back, going defensive, whatever. I don't like that method either. Some people decide they just need to hold tight. I kind of like that method. That's the type of method I like, because you're going to react to something. You're going to make a mistake. You don't know how it's going to turn out. So you can guess, but that's a guess. But if you bought good, solid companies, no matter what happens, you know that they will come back. How long they'll come back might take time, I don't know, but you should have been buying solid companies anyways. And then trying to protect afterwards, you've already, you know, this has already happened. Too late. Forget about that. Even if it keeps going down, forget about it. You're too late. What you'll do is you'll go to protection mode just at the time that the market turns around. Look what happened today. Now, the other way to look at it, which I'm okay with, is take a look at the valuations of your holdings after this fall and decide, okay, am I fine? Are the valuations still good? Has this event, whatever event this is, and this happens to be the Russian thing, does this change the fundamentals of my companies that I own? And maybe it does if you own some Russian companies, right? Or Ukrainian companies. Maybe it does. And maybe you should look at it. So I'm quasi-okay with that part. But I think just holding tight is the best technique. You know, we've been talking about, Justin and I have been talking about for months, the types of stocks you should be owning. And it always were value stocks, commodity-type stocks. You know, have some gold positions. And those have done well. I mean, not great, but much better than the overall market. So, you know, you should already be there, you know, in a situation where you can just ride through whatever we're facing. Okay? That's what I think. And I'm pretty sure, well, that's what I'm doing too. Now, on Fridays, you know this, I usually run a quick list of the basic benchmark numbers that we have. The two-year treasury yield is at 1.598%, and it was 1.4 last week, and 9 weeks ago, it was at 0.64. So the two-year treasury is still moving up. The 10-year treasury, 1.93. Last week, it was 1.91. 5 weeks ago is 1.72. So what you're seeing is the two-year moving up and the 10-year moving up a little bit, but being a little bit more steady. Therefore, the yield spread is squeezing. That's something we have to pay attention to. really do. Gold. Gold, 1885 per ounce. Last week it was 1896. 3 weeks ago it was 1806. Silver, 2394. Last week it was 2397, 3 cents down. Oil, $90.94. It broke 100 for a very short period of time this week. Last week it was 91.60, but, you know, 11 weeks ago, $66 a barrel. So oil is pretty high. The NASDAQ average for a gallon of gasoline, $3.57. It was $3.52 last week. California, $4.79. It was $4.72 last week. Going up. So going to Ohio, it's only $3.33. Okay, let's slip in another InvestTalk Voice Bank question, if we can.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, I'm looking at taking a small position in BlackBerry, symbol BB, purely as a mid- to long-term speculative play. I've been watching it fall for a while. I'm not sure what a decent entry point might be, if any. What's your opinion? Thanks a lot.
Okay. BB is BlackBerry Limited. Remember the BlackBerry phone? Okay, they've hit hard times since that. Two decades ago, decade and a half. Canadian company operates as a security software and services company these days and securing the enterprise of things. So they've changed their whole business model. They're selling for $6.72. They're losing money this year. They'll lose money next year. I would not buy this with monopoly money. I would not buy it. Do not. I stay away from it. Their sales are going down. They're not going to make profits anymore this year or next. You know, why do you want to own this company? There's no reason to own the company. I think it's overpriced at $6.72. Well, the Friday show is moving pretty fast. I will share the highlights from the KPP Premium Newsletter in a few minutes. 888-99-CHART is our number.
Just wondering what your thoughts are on all the Robinhood trading and the Red Hat boards.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? Now is a good time to call InvestTalk. Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, I'm looking to add a water company to my portfolio. York Water is symbol YORW. I'm also looking at Essential Utilities, symbol WT.
In a world full of applications, why do documents and spreadsheets still run our lives? I mean, that's a workflow model that hasn't been updated for a long, long time. Until now. I'm talking about Coda, a new kind of doc that brings words, data, and teams together. You see, with your best writer in City A, your star presenter in City B, and your numbers wizard in City C, things can get complicated. But with the power of Coda, everything in your workflow is synced. For example, make an update in a table, and it automatically shows up everywhere for every team member. That's right. No more relying on copy and paste to keep essential projects current. With Coda, your team can operate on the same information and collaborate the way things should be, with efficiency and speed, in real time. Coda comes with a set of building blocks that anyone can combine to create a doc as powerful as an app. Coda is endlessly customizable and connected. There are templates for anything and everything. Product roadmap, remote onboarding, OKR tracker, meeting notes. You name it, Coda has it. Coda started from scratch and built a new type of doc that blends the best parts of documents, spreadsheets, presentations, and applications. With Coda, you can solve for just about anything. And right now, you can get started having your team all working together on the same page for free. Head over to coda.io/invest. That's coda.io to get started for free. Coda.io/invest. Have you ever heard this phrase? Fortune favors the bold, the strong, the brave. It means that people who take chances are often rewarded favorably. For your business to break the bonds of anything holding it back, you are going to need business checking as brave as you are. Introducing Novo Business Checking. Novo is powerfully simple business checking. And unlike the tired traditional banking model, Novo has no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Novo is customized for your business to save you time and free up cash flow. With seamless integrations to Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more. With so many effortless ways to integrate, fans call Novo the Swiss Army knife of business checking accounts. Sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/investtalk. Go to novo.co/investtalk to sign up for free. novo.co/investtalk. Novo Platform Inc. is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings, FA, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you both seem to have PEs in the 30s, and obviously a high debt load being a utility with large capital expenditures, but I was wondering if you'd recommend either of those two. This is Mike from Indiana. Thank you.
Okay, this is York Water Company. We'll look at that one. YORW. They're out of York, Pennsylvania. Engaged in a purification and distribution of water to 72,681 customers in York and Adams counties in Pennsylvania. It's a very small company, $574 million market cap. They make money and have made money for years, so they're going to make $1.28 this year. Well, actually, that would be last year, $1.28. They haven't got those numbers yet. It's still an estimate. And $1.33 next year, but it's a $43 stock. It's way, way, way too expensive. The only way you would really want to own it is because it's very attractive as a dividend payer, but it only pays 1.8%. It's too small of a utility for me. I mean, I like the purification water business, but it's way too expensive. Way too expensive. Okay, return on equity is 12%. They have some debt. Their growth is in the low single digit sales growth for 2 years and every quarter for 2 years. So it's just not attractive. I would not buy this stock. YORW. The KPP premium newsletter was finished today, as I do it every Friday, and it will be distributed to subscribers tomorrow morning. In the market conditions sections, I explained that the gorilla in the room affecting stock prices this week was, of course, Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Though the market jumped around as investors absorbed the news, the fall in prices was milder than I expected. With regard to affecting stocks, I doubt this issue will last very long. More important to investors is the direction of interest rates and surging inflation. All the indexes have fallen 10% or more, and the Nasdaq is off by 20%. We are clearly in a correction territory. It has taken almost 2 months to achieve this drop, and it may not be done, but it certainly looks like a buying opportunity is developing. No one can really know where the bottom of the market will be during a correction or a bear market, but once we get to about 10% or more, it's time to consider buying, not selling. We see no recession in 2022, even with an environment of rising interest rates, as long as the Fed takes it very slow in its tightening. Stock prices should moderate, and a relief rally will occur. Now, remember, I'm writing this early morning. This morning, I didn't think it happened today, but that's what I was writing. Stay with the defensive stance we have been recommending for some time. Value stocks, even after the recent rally, are a place to focus. The correction should be used to move into those kinds of stocks. So that was the first section. Under the portfolio management section, with market volatility whipping investors' emotions every which way, it's important to refocus on the fundamentals of the company, the companies you own. Okay, the fundamentals will ultimately play out in the price of the stocks you possess, which is why you always concentrate on companies with strong businesses and reasonable valuations. And so the simple analyst will, you know, you don't have to like make it rocket science, people. You don't. So you need to look, you can even look at it this way. When beginning your research, understand how the company makes money and what factors can affect its ability to make money. What are the factors? Okay, is this a leading company in its industry? Did it invent something that no one else has? Does it have just a really good business model? Does it have a great brand, and that's what will drive future sales? These are just basic things you need to know about the company. Okay, so you don't have to be. You can start there as far as analyzing the companies you want to own. It really is that simple. I give details in the newsletter, so you can read on. You know, if you get it, you can read the details. In the stock ideas section, a leading manufacturer of medium and heavy-duty trucks was one of the stock ideas. Earnings per share 2022 are expected to increase 31% to $6.95 per share. With those expectations, the stock is trading at 13.2 forward P.E. ratio. Not too bad when the five-year range is 8 to 26. Also, a company that is integrated producer of copper and other minerals. It operates mining, smelting, and refining facilities in Peru and Mexico. Top-line growth last year exploded as demand for copper expanded when the pandemic started. The stock is currently tracking at a good value relative to its historical averages while also paying a dividend yielding 6%. Pretty nice stocks, huh? These to put on your watch list, I think. So, finally, consumer watch section. Fraud and social media set a record in 2021. Over 770 million in losses from across various social media platforms was reported by an excess of 95,000 people. That's a lot. Okay, 25% of all fraud is in social media was reported last year. All fraud, 25% is social media. Okay, so be careful of your social media platforms. It's a very low-cost way for the fraudsters to reach millions of people. Okay, so there's always good value in the valuable information in the KPP Premium Newsletter. I think there is because I put it in there. It's valuable information. It helps me always, by the way. I like doing it because it gets the focus on the week and what happened this week and kind of helps me understand what's going on for the future. I think you can use it in the same way. So you can go to investtalk.com and subscribe if you're interested. You get it every Saturday. Comes out once a week. Okay? 888-99-CHART. Okay, the PCE number came out for January. PCE, this is the inflation number that the Fed likes best. It likes it better than the PPI and the CPI, producer price index and consumer price index. The PCE number is what they focus on. And what do you think it was today? It was up. Up 0.6%. That means the PCE inflation rate is 6.1%. That's less than the CPI number, which is 7.1, over 7%. Okay, so also real income shrank 0.5%. That means the top line income rose. They're starting to report real income and real spending instead of just the top number, what spending and income was. Because real means they've taken into consideration inflation. They're reducing the number by the inflation rate. So real spending was 1.5%, but their normal way to report it would have added that 0.6% PCE number. It would have been 2.1% real spending. So be careful what you read these numbers. You got to understand how they're reporting things. And this is a change. I mean, I've seen this done before, and it kind of is confusing. They shouldn't really do it, or at least they should explain it better when they report it. So those were some numbers out. Here comes another InvestTalk voice bank question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I have a question about 401k rollover. I have about $25,000 saved up in my employer's Roth 401k plan, but plan on leaving the company soon. I have two ideas. One is to obviously roll it over into a new employer's 401k plan when I find my new job, or roll it over into a Roth IRA and manage it on my own. I'm leaning towards the Roth IRA because I will have more investment options and I'm 26 and tend to be a passive investor. Which do you think is a better choice? I have some basic knowledge and I find ETF investing suits me best. Also, if I have $25,000 in my Roth 401k plan and I want to switch it over into a Roth IRA or transfer it over into a Roth IRA and it has a $6,000 contribution limit per year, can I only move $6,000 from the $25,000 per year, or can I do it in a lump sum? I love the show and look forward to the answer. Thank you very much.
Okay, I like rolling it into the Roth IRA better, and you can roll the whole thing at one time. Because it's not like you're contributing new money. You're not. It's old money. It's already in a Roth. It's just a Roth 401k. Also, when you go to a new employer, not all employers have available Roth 401ks. Many of them, most of them don't. So, you know, I think your much better option is to roll it over into a Roth IRA. And do it at a discount brokerage firm so you don't have to pay, you know, commissions when you buy stuff. And if you're a buy and holder, that's great. I think that works up. I think that works best for most people. Okay? So if you want to contribute more money into your Roth IRA, you are subject to that limit. But when you first roll over from one Roth to another, even if it's a 401k to regular, you just can roll the whole thing over. Okay? Good questions, though. Good question. I bet you a lot of people don't know those answers, so I appreciate you asking that question. Okay? Well, it is February. We're really late in February. It's February 25th. So, what is it, one trading day left, and that's Monday? So I think it's worth a minute or two to talk about KPP Financial and what Justin and I can do to help people, help you, and to let you know how we operate. Now, you know we operate on what we call, we participate in what we call parallel investing, meaning we buy the same things for our clients as we do for ourselves. Same price, same percentages in all the five programs that we have. And these, we have five programs going from very non-risky to pretty darn risky. Depends on what you want and what risk tolerance you're comfortable with. And we'll explain them all. Now, you don't have to become a client for us to take a look at your portfolio. We will look at it for free and tell you what we think about it, and we're not going to badmouth your portfolio. We're not going to say, oh, it's a terrible portfolio, unless it really is, just because we want you as a client. We will give you our honest opinion as to, well, it's a pretty risky portfolio, and you don't want to take risk, or you should be taking more risk, and your portfolio is very non-risky. Or you have way too much of one thing, or what? We'll tell you that. Or I just told somebody today, I think your portfolio is pretty well balanced. I think you just leave it alone. You know, I've done that. I did that today for somebody. So don't think it, you know, we're not there just to criticize your portfolio, but we will critique it to help you. We will. We'll do it for free. We don't care. It's okay. You can take advantage of our free analysis of your portfolio if you want to. Just go to InvestTalk.com, send me an email, and we'll take a look. Okay? This is InvestTalk. Justin and I thank you for downloading our podcast and telling your friends about us. We will play another caller question here. What happened to my computer? Just went out. We'll play another caller question, though, in about 30 seconds. So hang on, everybody.
The InvestTalk Voice Bank never closes, so your questions are always welcome.
As a newer investor, my question concerns positions.
You have the right to remain silent, but why would you, when anything you ask will be used to help you create your financial freedom?
I think it'll probably go higher.
And so I would keep a tight stop on it.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin, love the show. I had a quick question for you on the uranium. I've heard you talking about it. I completely agree with the potential for nuclear energy being seen as a green energy. You know, that uranium's got some upside. So I purchased UROY back when it was its other ticker symbol previously, and was about 225. I have about 2,900 shares of it. At one point, it was up 125%. Now it's only up about 23%. But wondered if it was a strong hold for long term and continue to buy when it has some volatile days with such a low price, or if you feel some of the other uranium stocks like URNM are a better purchase for me. Appreciate it, and I'll listen online. Thanks.
Well, the UROY, Uranium Royalty Corporation, is a Canadian-based company managed portfolio of uranium royalty and focused on uranium prices and other uranium interests. It's very new. It doesn't make money. It's very tiny. I wouldn't own it at all, but I would definitely look around for some other choice. You don't have to, you know, if you don't want to put all your eggs in one uranium basket. There's some really good other uranium stocks out there, and I would, if you're going to have that position, I'd pass around. But don't overweight in any one position. Don't overweight in anything, okay? But we do like the play, a clean energy play, actually. Once people get over the fact that it's uranium and we're talking about a nuclear power plant, people have some I don't understand people's thinking about them when they think it's so dangerous when it's been extremely safe for the last 30, 40 years in the United States. And, you know, that was old technology. New technology is even safer. So I understand people are very nervous about it. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here: to help you achieve financial freedom. And our work will continue. So get your questions in. 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. We've seen the markets go up, then down, sideways, and around. It's called volatility. And if you're a serious investor, you'll have finance and investment questions for Steve Peasley. He's here now taking your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Matty from Kansas City, Missouri. I want to have your opinion on adding small and medium cap to the S&P 500. Since the S&P 500 is only large cap, I'm thinking to add some mid cap, then small cap. Is it a good idea, or S&P 500 is enough to cover the United States stocks? Thank you so much.
Well, it is, because it's 500 companies, the 500 largest, as you pointed out. But I do like adding the mid cap and small cap value part of the market at this stage. So, yeah, I have no problem with adding small and mid cap value stocks, because the S&P 500 is big cap value and growth stocks. It's both. So, and you know, I do think you need to participate in small and mid parts of the market. I think it's healthy to do so. So the answer is yes, I would do that. Okay. Anyways, Texas passed a law, because of course, you know, Texas is pro oil, right? Pro drilling. It passed a law against companies, banks in particular, restricting doing business with oil companies. Now, why did they have to do that? Because various big banks have announced that they were going to restrict doing business with oil companies. So the Texas government decided that that's not a proper thing for banks to be deciding, and now is saying, no, if you're going to do business in their state, in Texas, you got to treat everybody equally. You can't just exclude a certain industry. Now, of course, it's Texas, and they're bigger than oil. But what's interesting is other states are thinking about adopting the same rules. So that's a pushback. Because everything has been pro-right, pro-environmentally. You know, no oil is evil. Natural gas is evil. Those things are evil. They produce pollute the environment. Well, that's fine and good until you try to live without oil and natural gas. Try to live without it. Go ahead. Yeah. Not in a modern society. We need the energy. You know, I know we all want clean energy. I get it. I understand that. That's why I'm pro-uranium and nuclear power plants. Right? But I just think that, you know, we need to be more reasonable in our approach. That's all. I have no problem with going to all electric cars. I have no problem with that. But they got to be up to snuff. It looks like they're going to be that way to me. But I don't think you should penalize other industries. You should let the market decide those things. I'm a pro-market guy. Anyways, this is Friday, everybody. We'll know over the weekend what Russia plans to do with Ukraine, but I really don't think it's going to affect the market. What's more important to the market, I think, is continuing inflation problems. The more inflation grows, the more the Fed's going to turn its focus on inflation to kind of cut it down. How does it do that? Raising interest rates, tightening money supply, which they said they're going to do. But they can tighten it more if they want to. And that effort could throw us into recession. I don't see it yet. I'm not predicting a recession yet. If they stick with their what they said they're going to do, 3 or 4 quarter point rises, and the first one will be coming in March, trust me, it will. I think that is okay. Remember, if they did 4, it only brings up the Fed fund rate up to 1%. It's not a lot. It's not going to destroy the economy. It's not. Therefore, it's not going to destroy earnings for corporations. Everything will be fine. Try to stay relaxed. But if inflation continues to be growing, it is going to be a problem. It will become a problem. I don't think it will. I don't. I think we're seeing the top, but no one really knows. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free download podcasts. You can get yours anytime you want at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Remember, it's free. Please be sure to review and rate us on iTunes if you do download it from iTunes. Your positive ratings helps, you know, raises our profile. We really want to raise our profile. But you can rate us any way you want to. You can. Okay? Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listening line at 888-99-CHART.